This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
See, the Bush administration is defending itself today against criticism that it knew there was something up last summer. It knew that something could happen in Washington and New York. Condoleezza Rice, who's the National Security Advisor, she was on a variety of television programs and press conferences today saying, well, it was generalized, we didn't really know, what do you want from me? Now we see from the archives of the Drudge Report, Matt Drudge reprinted this from December of 98. This is from the Drudge Report, December of 98. Suspected terrorist Osama bin Laden may be planning strikes on Washington or New York to avenge a U.S. missile strike on his Afghan headquarters in August of 98, according to Time magazine. Well, Drudge didn't have it. Time magazine had it. But Drudge reprinted it. For some reason, Janice gave me the Drudge report. Why don't you give me the Time magazine report? Why? Because we hate Time magazine. We're not giving them no credit around here. Matt Drudge had it. Anyway, so today, this is the word. And this is hot on the heels of the latest announcement from Ann Robinson, who got fired off of Weakest Link, that Americans are so stupid we couldn't find it with both hands. Now, she may be right. So apparently the information came in dribs and drabs that there was something up, maybe for September. The White House acknowledged yesterday that President Bush received a warning last summer about a possible hijacking involving bin Laden. The warning was passed on in one of his daily intelligence briefings when the president was at his Texas ranch in August. Several lawmakers, including some senior Republicans, demanded answers from the White House. Condoleezza Rice told reporters that the potential threats were vague and considered more likely to materialize overseas. The government did everything that it could in a period in which the information was very generalized, in which there was nothing specific in which to react, and had this president known of something more specific or known that a plane was going to be used as a missile, he would have acted on it, according to Condoleezza Rice. So President Bush now has to answer for some questions involving security and intelligence information, and one can only surmise that had Clinton still been president, or if Gore had been elected president, and this was going on with Gore or Clinton in the White House, there'd be an assassination attempt. I'm telling you, people would have their war paint on, they'd have their tomahawks out, somebody's scalp would be hanging from a fence at the White House. But because it's Bush, now everybody's got these questions. Well, maybe it was too generalized, and it was this and it was that. So we're back to being Americans, we're back to playing politics as usual. Was there a failure of intelligence? Did the right officials not act on the intelligence in a proper way? These are things we got to find out, according to one of the congresspeople that was interviewed. And Ann Robinson in the London Mirror today says Americans are so stupid she can't stand it any longer. She's leaving the Weakest Link. She's going back home to Britain where there's nothing but brain surgeons up one side and down the next. Ann Robinson, Americans are stupid, she says. Only 5% of us have passports, and we act as if George W. Bush is Einstein. Well, we did until we got this news today. Ann Robinson, the flame-haired quiz show dominatrix, is not impressed. The Weakest Link is said to be shelved. The Weakest Link is to be shelved in the United States as the result of declining ratings. So she's been canned. She's out of here. And her goodbye address was, America, you are the weakest link, goodbye. On one U.S. show, I asked a young soap star how many minutes there were in a half hour, and she said there were 60. Nor is she much impressed by our leader, President Bush. She said, I saw George Bush at a benefit concert actually waving at Stevie Wonder. Someone had to tell him he can't see you. Ann wanted to mention the incident on a U.S. chat show, but post-September 11th, criticizing the president was deemed unpatriotic. Suddenly, you couldn't say anything about him, she says. Before September 11th, I remember asking on TV if Bush knew where Europe was. Then suddenly, you had to act as if he was Einstein. Does she think Americans are definitely more stupid than the Brits? She said, well, you have to remember that only 5% of Americans have passports. That explains a lot. So there you go. Ann Robinson says we're idiots. Now we find out from the National Security Advisor that we had information concerning a possible attack on Washington, New York, as recently as last September. You put it all together, and what do you got? It don't smell too good. And I got to tell you, Ann, we may be stupid, but we are gracious. So I'm not going to mention what I saw you doing to the president of NBC Entertainment through an open window one night. But anyway, I just wanted to say that. How did you get that gig anyway, you know? All right, so 1-800-449-8686 if you are a member of the, you know, if you're a citizen of the British Empire and you'd like to call in and dump a steaming load on the United States, by all means. That's what Ann Robinson says. We're idiots. We couldn't find it with a flashlight in a closet. So if you are a British or you hope to be someday and you're living here in the United States or maybe you're just passing through and you'd like to just squat and squeeze one out over our precious country, give us a call. 1-800-449-8686. Crap all over America here in the next few minutes. We won't say a word. Because I really don't have anything to talk about, man. I just got back from the doctor today. I went to the dermatologist today. Because I'm a fair-skinned, red-haired Irish Mick. And, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, I feel this lump in my arm. So naturally, I think I'm dying from cancer. So I went over to the doctor and he smacked me and he's, what are you, nut? You wasting my time? He said, it's nothing. It's something. I don't know what it is. It's a mosquito bite, you idiot. Get out of here. I said, thanks, doc. That's the kind of hypochondriac you turn into, man, as you're approaching the big 5-0. You think you're just going to croak at any second. There's got to be something wrong. Anything. Same. Just say it. Say it and I'll die. I go over to the dermatologist today. I said, I found this in my arm, doc, and I don't know what it is. And he said, yeah, I think maybe it's a spider bite. You really bother me. Get out of here. And I'm still charging you for the office visit, too. Put it on your visa. What do you want? You know, I mean, I was worried, you know, and so I don't care about anything today. Our number 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. A little bit later on today, we're going to be talking with Bobby Dooley and her husband about the goings-ons there at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Also, Blake Barley will be on with another one of his creations, a kind of a satirical song concerning Star Wars, which, as you know, debuted sometime around midnight last night. My good friend Craig Taylor tried to get a ticket. They were sold out within seconds. Try to go over to the Man's Chinese, what, last night after midnight? You tried to get over there? Wherever the hell he went, he tried to get over to one of the theaters because it opened in L.A. I don't know where it's opening around the country. It's, you know, the select theaters, and then it opens in general release Friday, tomorrow night, something like that. You know, we always get the movies first here in L.A., and you think that that's a good thing. It don't necessarily mean it's a good thing, okay? Yeah, I mean, we got Crossroads first. We got a few babies there. Some of this stuff we don't need to see. Thank you. Dump that stuff out there somewhere. So Star Wars, so Craig, you couldn't get in. He walked up to the ticket window and they said, take a freaking powder. We're sold out. That's almost like the guy when I was putting in my swimming pool. And I got this stuff called Pebble Tech. Anybody out there who knows what Pebble Tech is, it's like a coating on the cement. But it's a very rare thing. And there's only two companies in California or in Southern California that do this. So I called him up. He said, when are you guys going to get over here and Pebble Tech my pool? The guy says, if you keep bugging me, I'm going to put you at the bottom of the list. Can you imagine that? So in other words, the guy's business is so good that he can tell me to go take a flying Finienza and he doesn't worry about it. I said, I'm asking you, when are you going to get out of here? You bugging me again? No, I just want to know, when can we take the, you know, fill the pool up? Just for that, I'm putting you to the bottom of the list. Now, I don't even think I'm going to put your pool in. How about that? Only in the pool business. That's why I was going nuts with that. Now I got those birds, I got a lump in my arm, and I got Ann Robinson with her big fat mouth. Not only that, but I got W sitting there saying, well, maybe somebody told me something. What? Well, I don't know. It was a busy day. I'd been bird hunting. Well, what did they told you there was something going to happen in Washington? And can I ask you a question?
What's that?
Were you down there? Were you on the beach with your daughters? Was that just a little just... Are you tipping it again? What's going on with you? Oh, hell, you can't expect me to know everything. I can't expect you to know everything, but this is kind of a big thing, man. A guy comes to you and says, they had an FBI agent down in Phoenix who said, there's a whole lot of Arabs down here taking flying lessons. Well, what does that mean? It don't seem right. I don't understand. Why can't people take flying lessons? Well, it's just they're Arabs and they're flying and they want to know a lot about the FAA. I'm just filing my report. Well, get out of here. You know what you need? You need a vacation. Well, I'm telling you guys, you better lay this one past W. Okay, what do you think, Mr. President? I don't care. What are you bothering me with it for? I have problems of my own and it starts with B and it ends with H and that stands for my GD daughters. Look, I don't know there's some guys down here, they're flying. Whatever. No, it's not whatever. They don't want to learn how to land. I don't understand. In other words, they want to know how to take off, and they want to know how to fly, they want to know how to land. Well, maybe they just want to take an afternoon spin. What do you mean, what is that? An afternoon spin? You still got to land. I don't know. What are you bothering me for, okay? The president's got his daughters are down there with their dresses up over their heads. Bug off, okay? We got sharks down in Florida. We got a lot bigger fish to fry than that, if you'll pardon the expression, with that shark attack. We got to go find Chandra Levy, okay? And after that, we got to go find George's daughters. They may be with Chandra. And then after that, we got to get them sharks. We got a whole bunch of stuff. So you and your flying Arabs, bug off. Okay, sir, thank you. Take vacation early. Thank you, sir. And there we are. Do any of these people holding on have British accents, Chris? Because as you know, in the first 15 minutes of every show, we devote it to people from the United Kingdom or the British Empire, the British Isles, or however it's called these days, and they want to squeeze one out over America, huh? Any of these people, Ann Robinson, give us a call. 1-800-449-8686. You know, we can take it all. We're America. We're a big country. We're a tough country. We can take it all, man. Whatever you want to dish out, just lay it on us, all right? You're frustrated with your job. You're unhappy with your life. You're unhappy with your family. Blame it on America. We're stupid. We're dumb. We couldn't find it. We couldn't find it if it was a hole in the ground, man. If somebody oil painted that thing, we couldn't step on it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I bring him in.
You want to bring him in?
Bring him in.
All right.
Okay, Blake, you got another political satire song?
That's right, Phil. I'm Blake Barley, and of course I specialize in political satire, and that is that I make songs up out of the day's headlines. Satirical songs, songs that have a cutting edge, songs that are also funny, and songs that are very insightful and educational. I'm kind of like Garrison Keillor. Garrison Keillor? I can't read that cue card. Hold it steady.
Garrison Keillor.
That's right. That's me.
Hold the cue card steady.
Sorry, Mr. Barley. I did not do it.
Well, go ahead, bud.
Oh, I'm sorry. And now, everybody, here's Blake Barley with a song of political satire about the current news events.
Thank you, everybody. I'm Blake Barley, and let's get to it. Here's a song about a current contemporary event, a current cultural event in America.
What's this called?
Well, here it is, Phil. It's called Star Wars Sucks. Here it is. Oh, Star Wars sucks, Star Wars sucks, Star Wars sucks, Star Wars blows, Star Wars...
Ow! Get out of here with that.
That's my ukulele.
Yeah, that's your ukulele. That was your ukulele. What are you doing?
Well, he said he had a song, I don't know.
Yeah. Star Wars sucks, Star Wars sucks, Star Wars blows. What genius!
Right, I thought it was pretty good in a satirical way.
Well, what's good about that, man?
Because it comments about it.
Look, bud, satire is something that uses the reality against itself almost. You exaggerate the very aspects of that thing to make it funny.
Right. That what he do.
How does saying Star Wars sucks, Star Wars sucks, Star Wars really blows, how's that satire?
Because he takes the reality of how much it blewed and made a song out of it.
Hey, man, that's not satire.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. Don't tell me. I know what it is. He takes the reality of how it blewed.
I mean, how it blow.
How it blow. He's not even saying anything about the characters. Get out of here, okay?
Mr. Henry, you'll hear from my lawyer. Oh!
Take your freaking ukulele, too. Can we fire him, Janice, or what's his deal? His deal runs through the end of the summer? Okay. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. So anyway, President Bush knew that we were going to get attacked, so should we impeach him? Let's get those phone calls coming in now, 1-800-449-8686. Bush impeached. What do you think? That's what they're saying. Let me tell you something. You don't have to believe me, but here is the reality. Nothing's a surprise in this world. Nothing. In today's climate, I'm not talking about post-9/11. I mean pre-9/11. nothing's a surprise. See, it isn't that Bush had information that he kept from us because he wanted to see 2,000 people die in the World Trade Center. It's that they had little bits and pieces of information that they didn't put all the pieces together. They didn't put the pieces of the puzzle together. They were a little thick. They weren't too quick on the uptake. That's the way it is. But nothing comes as a surprise. Let me ask you a question. Did it ever occur to you guys just why it was so quickly ascertained after 9/11 that it was Bin Laden? Do you remember that? 9/11 happened within 5 minutes. Yeah, Bin Laden did it. How do you know? We had the word on it. You had the word on it. We got it. It's Bin Laden. You remember that? Remember 9/11 happened? And right away, who? Bin Laden. Well, how do you know? Well, it's got his ear markings. You guys are a little fast on this Bin Laden thing, man. You did something you didn't know? Something you weren't telling us? Well, I don't want to say. You don't want to say. Within minutes, that attack happens, and the guys know it's Bin Laden. Okay. So now they say that Bush knew. Nothing's a surprise. I'll give an example. Everybody likes to use the example of Pearl Harbor. They say Pearl Harbor this, Pearl Harbor that. America hadn't been attacked since Pearl Harbor. Well, let's take Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor wasn't a surprise either. Did FDR know they were going to attack Pearl Harbor? No, he didn't know they were going to attack Pearl Harbor, but he did know that he was pissing off the Japanese because we'd cut their oil off, and we told them if they made any more moves in Asia, we were really going to lock their heels, and the Japanese knew that they had to make a move in Asia according to what they felt they had to do, and they need to neutralize America. So everybody was sort of on the same page of what was going to take place sometime in 1941. Japanese had made contingency plans to attack Pearl Harbor if their negotiations with the United States broke down. Now, they'd had their oil cut off. Can you believe this? There was once a time when we were a major oil supplier. You loving that? We supplied Japan with its oil, and we cut their oil off. They got bugged. We told them don't make any more moves in the middle in Asia. They did anyway, and we knew something was going to happen. We didn't exactly know when or where. We had a stinking hunch it was going to be Pearl Harbor, but we were biding time. You know, we were playing for a little bit of time, and we were seeing what was going to go down. So nothing's really a surprise. It's just sometimes the timing catches you off guard. Now, what happened on September the 11th, whether these guys knew that a plane was going to fly into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, and, oh, yeah, let's hijack another one and put it into the White House, I don't know if they had that information or not. They knew that there was an organization out there called Al-Qaeda. They had tried a couple of things before. Everybody thinks it's such a big surprise. I remember saying to people on this show following 9/11, I said, what are you guys talking about, man? Clinton said in 1999 the following words, or to this effect. He said, the United States will become the new theater of terror attacks in the next century. It's not a matter of if, it's simply a matter of when. Now, that's the President of the United States, you know, Bill Clinton saying that publicly. But you know how we are as Americans. Well, just read what Ann Robinson said. We're dumb, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, we got other fish to fry. There's a little league game. We got to go to the workout center. You know, I want to tone my ass up for the summer. I mean, you know, some of this stuff goes in one ear and out the other. The fact of the matter is, Clinton said this. So, here, I'm a Democrat. And, I've never paraded my politics as much as I have the last several months, ever since 9/11, because I think, like, I have to qualify everything. But I'm only saying that because, you know, this is a Democrat who, you know, supported Bush through everything that he did following 9/11 and all of the military action that he's taken. And I'm sitting here trying to find an out for this guy because I don't think he's a guy that's malicious. And I don't particularly believe he's stupid either. I think that this is a cat probably the same way any other president would react to a whole load of information, trying to decipher and disseminate and delegate what they're going to do about all this stuff. So a bunch of guys are going to waste their time saying that Clinton blew this thing. Bush blew it. Hey, if you're going to go down that road, you know, how much time are we wasting on this? We're going to find out what Bush knew. What are you saying? The guy's inept? Why don't you just impeach him? Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. I hope I'm making myself clear. I am? It's Phil Hendry Show.
We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Let me ask you something. A guy comes to you, you're the president, says, Mr. President, we have information that there will be aircraft hijacked next month and crashed into the World Trade Center. What would you do? Well, what are you going to do? You going to shut all the airports down? Are you going to go public with that? Aircraft will be hijacked. They say you're supposed to go public with that. That was the criticism of the TWA. The Lockerbie jet that went down. Was that a Pan Am jet? Remember, they had some kind of a warning prior to that, and they got upset because they didn't go public with it. And after that, they decided to go public with it. And that's why, you know, there were jets. I remember immediately after the Lockerbie jet went down, there were jets in Europe that had been the focus of some kind of threats. And they went public with it, and people were not flying on those flights. They'd take another flight, even though they had completely canvassed the plane for explosives and any other kind of security breach. So the next thing you know, there's three guys on the plane flying in the safest airplane in the air, because there have been 18 million soldiers and intelligence guys all over this thing. Everybody's flying first class. Friend of mine flew from Paris to Detroit on a jet that had been the subject, the focus of a terrorist threat. The French police went over this thing with a fine-tooth comb. People still decided they didn't want to fly on it. He was on it he said there were maybe 10 other people. They all flew first class. Flight attendant said, well, you might as well move on up. He said it was sweet. Nonstop Paris to Detroit. Why? Because people are predictable, I guess. I don't want to judge them. What are you going to do? You're the president of the United States. You're going to shut down all the airports? You're going to shut down all the air traffic? Are you going to put air marshals? What are you going to do? You heighten security? I suppose you begin to make all of the people aware of the fact at the gates that there may be people trying to breach security. These guys got on these jets with razor blades and toothbrush handles. Nothing they brought on those planes was a violation of security. You know, I don't want to say it. Maybe I shouldn't, but I think I will. Some stuff you cannot avoid. Some things you cannot avoid until it happens, and then you learn from that. But before the fact? All right, anyway, there's a picture of Yasser Arafat in the paper today. He's wearing glasses that are like Mr. Magoo. Hey, Yasser, what is up? You got to get yourself some LASIK, brother. These glasses are right off of Mr. Magoo. Either Mr. Magoo or he's stealing them off of Ann Robinson or some kind of the latest in welfare mother eyewear. What are these things? They're like $300 eyeglasses. All right, here's Jason on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just had a question for you. Isn't Ozzy Osbourne British?
I think so.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that whole lack of American intelligence thing, why we're having that type of British idiocy paraded in front of us.
That British idiocy is nuts.
Yeah.
I got to do something about that, man. Thanks for warning me.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye. Here is Dan on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello. How's it going, Phil?
Good. Dan, how are you?
I can't complain. I'm a senior at UC Santa Cruz, and I'm a fairly conservative person, so I've been fighting these liberals my whole like career here. And it's America, but I just really hope that this country stays united and gets off of this whole issue about impeachment and.
Who's saying impeach? I just said it as a joke.
I understand.
You got to understand. You know that if Clinton was still president, they'd be all over him like white on rice on this thing, man. They wouldn't. They'd bend him over, grease him up, man. They'd leave him bleeding on the shower floor. It's Bush, what do we got? We got it isn't the president's fault. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, but at the same time, people are going to do what people are going to do, and this act, okay,
what does that
September,
mean, people are going to do what people are going to do?
I'm just saying, like, when there's a will, there's a way. I mean, we can only prevent so much, okay? And, I mean, there have been terrorist threats
Be honest with me, though, please,
sure.
Seriously. I'll be honest with you. You be honest with me. If Clinton was still president, wouldn't you be screaming from the highest rooftops up there at UC Santa Cruz about what a scumbag he is and how he sold the country down the river?
You know what? I would definitely want to know more about it.
There you go.
For sure. And that, I think, is fine, you know? Investigate the heck out of it, okay? But what I'm saying is you can't hold him personally responsible, and really just rip into him for it because, I mean, people are going to do essentially
what they're
going to
do.
Have. Exactly. And, okay. I mean, they're not – we can't shut down the Air Force. We can't, you know, I mean, what could we possibly have done to prevent this terrible thing?
I that's my point, and I'm resisting the temptation, being a lifelong Democrat, to not play politics with it myself and say, A, there are no real surprises. They did have intelligence that something was going to happen, and it's difficult to sort of cover every hole, kind of put your finger in every hole in the dike. But if you're going to give Bush that kind of a pass, then you got to begin to understand that every president faces this, and that it isn't political, and that we can't make everything political. And even if it's a Bill Clinton, you got to give the guy a pass occasionally.
Sure.
I've been listening all day long about how Clinton didn't see 93 in the World Trade Center, and he didn't see the coal, and he didn't see the embassy bombings, and Clinton this and Clinton. Oh, come on. When are we going to stop with this and understand that these men, as politically opposite of us as they may be, are still Americans? They're not there to kill people. I will never, ever in my life say that George Bush is there to sacrifice 3,000 lives for his political expediency. I don't think he's that low of a human being. And and by the way, I don't think Bill Clinton is either.
No way.
Now, the guy
might have
gotten himself a little bit of a joystick. You know, he might have got the old... Might have got himself a little paddling job there in the Oval Office. He's a real dirtbag for that. I understand it. But these men are patriots. They love their country.
Real quickly, I mean, like, let's say that they did do something about it, and they went out and they rounded up.
No, I understand.
18 or 20 men.
You're right.
You know, then what?
You're right. I mean, then we would have had a whole civil rights situation on
our
hands. We would have had a whole civil libertarian situation on our hands. But I've always said that I don't know what people are saying when they say profiling. How is it profiling when you're talking about Arab men from terror-sponsoring countries between the ages of 18 and 33 who went into the United States on student visas? Now, how is that profiling? That's not profiling Arabs. That's a specific suspect.
With a specific kind of behavior.
So, where'd you say you're from?
And that's what they do every day in our country with speeders and drug users and people that get DUIs.
Well, I do think they should pull over more blacks, because I just think it's out of control. I'm kidding. Okay, listen, Dan, where are you from? Santa Cruz?
Yeah, my nephews
surf up there.
Oh, right on. Good deal.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
See you later. Republicans don't surf. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Here is Elena. Hi, Elena.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm great. I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
Cool.
And it's my first time caller. Listened for about 6 months now, and I just had to say that, you know, I'm kind of with you. I'm, you know, I'm from Texas, you know, the whole Bush state and everything, and so I'm trying to be optimistic and objective and about this whole thing. But you still want to
move to Oklahoma. Well, I understand. Oh, we're talking about Bush, not the state.
Yeah, well, you know,
I'm from Texas,
whatever.
And I'm trying to be optimistic about that.
I'm trying to, you know, this whole impeachment thing, like you said, I think what you said to
Who's
the
talking about impeachment?
That they would be willing to, you know, leaving, bleeding on the floor and everything because Clinton.
The shower floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that I'm trying to be optimistic and not think that anything like this would happen, and I know that there's so much information. They have a hard time figuring out what they need to do, but they were thinking about industry and about how much money we would lose and all this kind of stuff versus life. And
what?
It's like probably, you know, they've got bean counters that do all of that and think, okay, if we stop the industry, how much money would we lose versus how much life? I mean, people do that every day.
Who?
You know, the...
In the movies they do.
Yeah, well...
Well, no, you know what?
In other words, you're saying
it's possible that they could have sat there in the White House last summer and said, if we begin to implement certain security measures, how is it going to affect the overall capacity of the country to run?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? That's possible they said that?
Well, if they don't have...
That's not an unusual decision to make. That's not an unusual decision to make. People in security make that decision all the time. If we do this, what impact is it going to have on life, and is it worth it considering the level of threat that we've got here? What I heard the security advisor say today, Condoleezza Rice, she said we had a certain level of threat that it was difficult for us to gauge exactly how serious. We felt it was perhaps more serious overseas. And they made a judgment call on this thing that was wrong, but we can't sit here now and say, well, I would have done it different. You know,
right.
I would have agreed even more with you about Well, actually, I would have disagreed more with you about the cynicism of corporations and government were it not for Enron and and the unbelievable manipulation of energy prices there, especially here in the state of California that I was reading about most recently.
But I mean, I'm talking about, like, death of people, though.
Yeah, I know. I understand. But, you know.
And you had kind of compared it to Pearl Harbor, where our state of intelligence now, I would hope to think, would be a little bit greater and more, you know, they should know a little bit more now than they would that many years ago.
Not necessarily. Not given the changes in intelligence gathering that took place over the last 20 years. We've kind of relied a little bit more on high tech as opposed to you've heard the discussions, you've heard the arguments, you've heard people talk about it. We needed more feet on the ground. We needed more boots on the ground. We needed more people, as opposed to relying on spy satellites and things like that. And that might have been our biggest failing over the last 20-plus years. And, of course, everybody wants to run around and point the finger of blame on that one, too. The first thing we got to do around here is blame. You know, every time I have a fight with my wife, I say, why do we have to blame? Can't we all just get along? Okay, 1-800-449-8686. No kidding. Check out this picture of Arafat. You know, he's got the beard with the tablecloth on the head. He hasn't showered in 16 days, but by God, he went down there and got his Bausch & Lomb's. What a sweet pair of... Look at that four-eyed freak. Jesus. This guy is something to behold. The guy has got... He's got all the fashion sense of a hobo, but when it comes to his eyeglasses... I mean, he's Sally Jesse Raphael. He is. He's Sally Jesse with a beard. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. You know, on this program, sometimes I play the part of different callers who call in, and people call and they think those are real people. In other words, I do characters on my show. Well, here's an example. On yesterday's program, Steve Bozell. Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, on yesterday's program, Steve Bozell was talking about the Daniel Pearl video and how he didn't think it should have been shown on television. In fact, he had an example of his own wife. His own wife videoed him getting hit in the nuts with a fastball, then falling over and crapping in his pants, and she got it all on video and sent it into America's Funniest Home Videos. Here he is talking to a caller about that.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
Sir, I understand that you were embarrassed on national television, but just let me say that is nothing compared to a human being shown on TV getting mutilated because he is a target of basically a terrorist act. Okay, you're comparing your embarrassment.
That's true, Rebecca.
You're comparing your embarrassment of being humiliated on a funny TV show to a guy that was killed on videotape and is showing it on the news.
Okay,
hello.
Okay. How would you like it?
You got off easy.
Ma'am, how would you like it? You're a woman, and I'm sure you would not like it at all. How would you like it, ma'am, if you fell down and you lost your bowel and your everything, your poo come through, and it's on a TV movie, on a TV screen?
It's on a TV screen for a matter of a second, maybe. And
how long is...
People that watch that show aren't going to remember it, sir. They're going to remember this.
Ma'am, I can tell you right now, I'm not saying it's the same as what happened to the Pearl family.
It's definitely not the same.
Absolutely. But I got to tell you, I'm wearing white cotton pants. I take a line drive shot off the testicles, which is a very sensitive part of a man's body. Then I fall down, and my wife zooms in so she can see the poo going through the pants. You gotta be nuts to think that that's some kind of a block party or a joyride.
I don't think it's a block party, but sir, you're comparing your situation to a human being killed on videotape. How can you actually call a show and compare yourself being hit in your private area to a guy that was killed
on
videotape?
Okay, now here's what I'm saying. The Daniel Pearl tape, that was just a couple of seconds, okay?
No, sir, that was more than a couple of seconds.
My video was 3 minutes. I rolled around in my own pooey, or the poo, or what my daughter calls on the poo area.
No, sir,
You're pooey.
Well, I'm trying to say, I don't want to say nothing that my daughter will be upset about. Hey, ma'am?
Yes.
Rebecca, I listen to a lot of talk radio shows, and many times the host will say, please turn your radio down, so I don't know if that's what you want me to say, Mr. Hendry.
No, I'll do it. Turn your radio down, Rebecca.
Yeah, it's down.
If you'd have said that, if the host had said it to you, though, instead of me...
Yeah, what about it?
Well, you're making fun of me because my wife zoomed in on my butt, and I'm doing your job for you.
Oh, well, let me send you a couple of bucks. What are you, nuts?
Crazy.
Well, what's up with you, lady? How would you feel if you got hit
you
so hard?
You told your story about 100 times, sir. And guess what? The story doesn't change. It's the same thing. But let me tell you this. You're nuts because you're comparing your situation to a gentleman that was killed, and I'm sorry.
I have more sympathy
for that family than
ever
have for you getting hit in your private area.
No, it's not just that, though. Then my own wife zoomed in on butt squirt.
Well, I think your wife did a pretty good job if she got that close.
Absolutely.
How would you feel if you got hit so hard in your nana that it made your monthly visit start early?
Oh,
well,
please.
You know what? If you're playing softball on a field, you should know better.
Yeah, you're looking at birds. You said you turned around to see the ice cream truck.
I've seen the ice cream truck pull in because I wanted to get a 50-50.
And if you're looking at birds playing baseball, sir, why are you looking at birds anyway? You're supposed to be looking for a softball.
Okay, I was looking. I was playing.
And you're playing shortstop, which is where you, if anybody's going to get a line drive off the nana.
Yeah, there's a line drive through there. Hello?
I beg your pardon? No. Okay, yeah, you're right about that, and I don't disagree. But I wanted to get a 50-50 because I knew that the ice cream truck was coming through, and I just turned around, and I started going, yeah, here it comes. That's when the man hit me in the na-na. See what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
All
like
right,
said,
forget it.
Change,
the guy's a mental case, okay?
You have a lot of guts to be calling a radio show and comparing your embarrassment to a gentleman that was killed on videotape.
Even though the poo come through.
You are not going to be remembered for that.
Ma'am, you are nuts.
You're nuts.
How would you feel if you got hit so hard in the
head? By the law, it's the same story.
You're
telling the same story
like
over and over
exactly.
And over.
Who cares, okay?
Nobody cares about me.
No one's going to care about
Nobody cares about you because, sir, you're still walking around living.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
Nobody
good point.
Nobody cares that you did that. You're still walking around living. That gentleman's family is going to have to live with this for the rest of your life. And you know what? The whole United States will remember that guy being killed on videotape. Nobody will remember you being hit with a ball.
Well, I can only tell you this much. I hope just for one day you grow a pair of balls and somebody line drives one off of them, just so you know what's
like. If that happens, I don't know.
Whatever. Okay, Rebecca.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever.
Bastard.
Bill Henry.
And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, HENDRIE show.com. Pick up a backstage pass, get all the classic audio you want from our show off of our website. Also, the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is available there. Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt and our Best of the Year 2001 CD. Bring it. All available in the Phil Hendry Show souvenir shop. It's all there at philhendryshow.com.